the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's Friday. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, we have CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop. The top five, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. It's our final day in this studio, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, the real reason you are here today, your president, prophet, seer, and revelator at the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The crazy animal collecting lady who lives in the trailer. Washington County woman's accused of attacking a deputy after they went to her trailer and reportedly found a dozen neglected animals. Her name is Echo Chamberlain, and she has kind of a Shania Twain look.
I'm sorry? Her name is what?
Echo Chamberlain.
Is that somebody's idea of a joke? Is that the, oh, hello, I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, no, she's nutty. Yeah. No, that's
a
bad...
crazy animal collector.
She'll kill you, too. That's the kind of woman who has a knife on her at all times.
She
kind
of looks like Curly of the Three Stooges.
Yes. But crazy and surrounded by... good God, that's unnerving. You know what she looks like? She looks like an emaciated version of that bucket lady I told you about that's always doing her business into a bucket down at the number 9 TriMet stop.
Why not stop by now?
Public transit.
Let's do a live shot.
Today. Fantastic.
Apparently she's 41 years old, didn't want the deputies to come inside her trailer. Eventually they forced the door open. When the first deputy entered, Miss Echo came at him and attempted to strike him in the head with a piece of rebar. So they had a search warrant. They found a dog with its muzzle tied shut. I don't want to get into too many gory details. Aww. Because no, we don't care about talking about people who are wounded, but animals are a different thing.
Well, so. Clearly. Now, has she been found guilty of this, or is it just alleged?
Well, this is alleged.
Because
they found some animals mistreated.
So we're not yet at the point where I can say that she should be taken out back and beaten with hammers.
Well, they did find some unpleasant things, which I don't want to talk about.
Well,
very
let's
much.
Not read them just now.
Yeah. Well, then she's a bad person if Tim doesn't want to talk about
it. Seriously,
them.
Let's not read it.
She's an alleged bad person.
Let's just pray that bad things happen to her.
Let's pray that her hair grows back. That'll really upset her.
Let's take a few moments now to pray that something terrible happens to this woman.
Friday is a favorite day.
All right, there you go. Hey, whatever happened, speaking of horrible people, whatever happened to that idiot girl, my opinion, from a few years back who ran off to Seattle with her equally idiot boyfriend, my opinion, and left her dog in the car and whatever. And the dog was the dog was fine. Wasn't the dog, they had to rescue the dog. They rescued the dog. But, you know,
didn't you leave it in there with, like, the windows shut?
Well, yeah, I was like, it's June. I think I'll put my dog in the back of the car and go to Seattle with my jobless boyfriend.
Maybe she went after a community college to begin a new life.
Probably not. Let's get a couple of these, and then we'll continue with the news. Phil, hello, sir. Phil?
How you doing?
Phil Connors. Yes, hello, sir.
Hey, I was simply calling about the hearsay thing.
Yes.
I was listening to that explanation. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Hearsay is simply a story you heard from someone else you didn't personally witness.
Scotty, are you listening?
You can't be a personal eyewitness to the event you're trying to retell.
Hearsay is information or fact or a story given to you through a third person or received secondhand, something that you do not have personal verification of.
Somebody's kidneys were cut out
during
the Las Vegas hotel stay.
Exactly. Tim totally nailed it. A friend of a friend of a guy I worked with said that he rented a cheap whore in Vegas and he woke up with his kidneys gone. Yeah,
I just want to say I love you guys. You are totally entertaining.
Thank you, sir. You're spreading the word.
Yep.
God bless you.
All
right.
The time.
All right. Thank you. There you go. That's Phil.
Phil.
Here's Tim Riley.
Time for the Bush Watch.
Here's your Bush Watch for Friday on the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
He's the president in residence, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard. That's the price of fame when you're president.
Everyone knows your name.
Hey, what's that thing? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House.
That's a mouth.
Well, first we have Nebraska Republican Senator Chuck Hagel, who is not in lockstep with the president concerning the way forward.
Someone's going to disappear. All right, am I playing this now?
No, Wolf Blitzer's first on the list.
Oh,
he said he had a. He said that a troop increase is, quote, not in the national interest. Hagel says he's not trying to undermine the president, though.
We're not trying to hurt the president. Nobody wants to defeat America. That's not what we're trying to do here. But we have to have some kind of an understanding and debate about where do we go from here.
The president says, I'm the decision maker about sending troops to the war. I picked the plan, and I think it is most likely to succeed, said he. The president had strong words about lawmakers on both sides of the aisle who are lining up to support resolutions opposing his decision to send 21,000 troops to Iraq. He challenged them to put up their own ideas. Well, their idea is to get out or not send them. They've already told him what their idea is.
Well, that's
He doesn't like the idea.
I was just going to say, there's a difference between not having any ideas and sort of being in the back going, if you just call on me, come on. And you know what it is? It's like being that kid in class that has the answer, but the teacher's tired of calling on you because the answer you give her isn't the one that she wants to hear, or you have some bizarre interpretation of a day no pigs would die that she doesn't care about. She doesn't care about how you're reading, a lot of Freudian insight into, the Outsiders novel. And so instead, she just continues to call on other people or pretends that she doesn't see your hand raised. Not that these things ever happen to me and that I'm still seething with bitterness about it. It's also like if you're the smart kid in class and you've answered the question, five questions in a row, you've been the guy with the solution to the problem, and so she just wants to call on somebody else, but there is nobody else raising their hand, so instead she just ignores you and answers the question herself. Again, not that any of these things ever happened to me, but what we're constantly hearing is that
nobody has any ideas. The voters had the idea of throwing everyone out who disagreed with them. That was the idea.
I was just going to say, and I hate the fact that I'm sounding like I have to sit here and be on the Democratic side of things. It is worth noting, factually speaking, that really there is a difference between not having any ideas and suggesting ideas and just having the president stick his fingers deep into his chimp-like ears and just say, I didn't hear anything. There are no ideas. No one has an idea. And I mean, maybe we should build a... Can we rent a billboard across the street for the White House, do you think?
No, we can't do that. Clear Channel owns them all.
they're busy using them to taunt their rivals.
I did see some CBS billboards. And of all places, San Francisco.
Really?
It says CBS on the billboard.
Supporting San Francisco values.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it's time now to kill Iranians in Iraq, says the president. That should be easy. They're easy identifiable. They look like everyone else, don't they?
The weekend is here.
That's a word from the president, who said any such operation against Iranians would only be conducted within the Iraqi borders.
All people desire to be free.
Or dead.
It's in the interest of the United States to not only defend ourselves against the enemy in the short term,
but to kill them.
But it's in the interest of our children and grandchildren to spread freedom so that we can live in peace in the long term.
Okay, I swear to God right there, that was just some stuff made up. He wasn't available for a speech today, and so they just went and they chopped up a bunch of his old speeches, and they made that one. Wait, hold on.
All people desire to be free.
And dead.
And it's in the interest of the United States to not only defend ourselves against the enemy in the short term, but it's in the interest of our children and grandchildren to spread freedom so that we can live in peace in the long term.
Boy, they're all there. Every single one of his hot button phrases right there. That's really admirable in a way. That's pretty stunning that they jammed it all into one sentence like that.
The president says he has nothing but a freedom agenda. Number three.
We're a country with low inflation, low unemployment, and increasing wages. We got people working, and they're putting more money in their pocket.
Food on their family.
That's that. Meanwhile, tomorrow, thousands of people are expected to rally on the National Mall to protest the war. Of course, they don't care, and they're not going to pay any attention.
It's not
going to
help.
It's been going on for years, and nobody cares.
Protests do nothing.
Celebrities include Hanoi Jane.
Oh, God.
Danny Glover and Susan Sarandon.
With all the usual stuff. Can't you get someone new? You know these Democratic protesters, and really, and this, I say this only because it's so obvious. I don't say it with love. It's just ridiculous. Democrats are just, they're just such boobs. That's the thing about it. They're boobs. They're boobs, and they're just floundering nitwits. They're so that phrase really is correct, that the Democrats lose so no one else has to. Democrats could not market or position themselves out of a wet sock. I mean, it's just, how many years in a row are they going to have Jane Fonda show up and represent something before they realize that no one likes her?
Barbara Streisand wasn't available.
No one anywhere. Tim Robbins isn't there. He's the only one missing. And Martin Sheen. Martin Sheen is also missing.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to get, I mean, look. You can't have it both ways, Democrats. It seems like either the liberal media really exists or it doesn't exist. If the liberal media, it does exist, and in terms of Hollywood, it certainly does. In terms of the entertainment industry, it certainly is very liberal. Can't you find somebody new? Why does it always have to be Susan? Look, I love Susan Sarandon. God love her. I love her, and I would love to have sexual intercourse with her. Not so much with Danny Glover, but I'm just saying it's the same three people that they trot out all the time. And Danny Glover can't speak. He is the worst public speaker. I know that he's got, what's that thing called?
Be careful, he could be listening.
No, he's got, is he, does he live here?
He lives in Portland.
Oh, God love him. He's a great actor. Got dyslexia. Shouldn't speak in public. That's all I'm saying. It's true. I've witnessed it firsthand. I was there. And he called Jello Biafra Jello Kennedy. And so, it's. I swear to God he did it. Later, we have Jello Kennedy, who was, which is funny. Jello Kennedy sounds like some sort of a treat that you would be serving at Hyannisport, don't you think? Some sort of, you'd be at the compound, who would like a Jello Kennedy? And then the raping will take place in the backyard in approximately 15 minutes, followed by the arresting and the acquitting. So Danny Glover is speaking. At the Ralph Nader convention, and so he's there and he's talking, and you know, it was in that like 35 seconds where I was kind of excited, thinking that somebody might be elected president who would sort of screw things up a little bit. And so I'm at the Ralph Nader thing, and Danny Glover's talking, and he's just mangling the speech, just couldn't get three words in a row out correctly, and everybody's shifting awkwardly in their seats and just feeling palpably uncomfortable. And then he says, and then he makes us all feel bad with the wave. He could have been making this up. Maybe he just can't speak, and so he was making this up. With a wave of his perfectly manicured hand, he said, "You'll have to forgive me, I am dyslexic." And suddenly we're all like, we went from, ooh, to, oh, damn. And then it was sort of a too soon kind of moment. We all felt bad. I'm not going to play it. Oh. I'm going to wait. It's too soon to play the too soon thing. Blah, 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 blah. So the Democrats got to get somebody new. Where is the Joshua Jackson? That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. How about Emilio Estevez?
Talk about a well-spoken young man. He would be great.
What a well-spoken young man. And he's so neatly scrubbed. Who would go see Jane Fonda speak anywhere unless you were going to throw something at her?
That is true.
I'm a big bleeding heart, and I despise Jane Fonda, man. It's like, Jane Fonda is just like having weasels ripping my flesh away. Anyway.
Lieutenant Scott Fear of the U.S. Park Service
Scott
says...
Scott Fear.
Yes, he says authorities are well prepared for this event.
We don't expect any problems. We don't expect any civil disobedience. But if they get a large crowd and a large demonstration, we want to make sure that they're safe, too.
Officer Fear and the works right alongside Commander Doom. Eric, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
I was just going to say, I'm everything you hate in American youth, conservative, Mormon. And I can't agree with Scott anymore.
I don't hate Mormons. You produce some of the hottest women. Seriously.
This is true. This
the
is
Mormon
very,
Church
very true,
produces...
And they're all virginal.
No, the... Well...
What about Marie Osmond?
Let's not delude ourselves about the real state of things, Eric.
Sorry.
There is, well, never mind. I'm just going to say that among Gentiles, which is what Mormons, what Latter-day Saints refer to, no, which is what Latter-day Saints refer to non-Mormons as, there is something called the Mormon Girl 3-week window. And the 3-week window, which has been, we've talked about this a lot in this program, that is when there is this thing when Mormon girls turn about 18, 19, 20, and they have the freedom. They're away from mom and dad. If they're not married or on a mission, then they're kind of out, maybe living on their own. Maybe they're going to college or something. They drift away from the church. They want to taste the sweet, sweet nectar and marrow of life. And so you've got about a 3-week window to have sex with them as often as possible, because at about the 3-week point, they start feeling guilty and they are
the guilt kicks in.
Seriously, and it's like a slingshot. They are just launched back into the arms of Heavenly Father, and there they stay the rest of their lives. So anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
No, I was just going to say, I'd much rather have the talking about the Medicare or the medical stuff that you're talking to Scotty about with the right and entitlement. I think it's a right that everybody would be taken care of. I think it may be an entitlement that people who do not have the means to get medical assistance, mm-hmm. get it from the government. I'm self-employed. I'm nervous. Sorry.
That's okay.
I don't think it's the government's role to mandate that I have health care from them. Now, if they want to give me a tax break so I can go buy it, hey, I'm all for that. But I would much rather buy it from a private provider than have them say you're going to get X, Y, and Z for your medical care.
Well, and there are a lot of ancillary issues to what I'm about to say, because I'll say what I'm going to say, and then all the libertarians in the audience go, well, what about people who eat a lot of fatty foods, Rick? What should I have to pay? And then, you know, and we can talk about all that later. My point is, in my just a boil it down, that the government, and by my reading of the United States Constitution, this is the law, that the government is there to provide for the common defense from stuff that's going to kill us. Stuff that's going to come from the great out there and kill us, whether or not that's a guy in a plane or whether or not that's cancer. And so, you know, if government's not there to provide, you know, for the general welfare, then what the hell am I paying my taxes for?
Well, no, no, I totally agree with you. One of my best friends died from cystic fibrosis, and she didn't have health care. I think that was...
Well, she should have worked harder. That's the government.
Well, she should
That's
have.
The government.
How dare she not?
Yeah.
But, you know, nobody was stepping up. Nobody, you know, would step up and help her pay her $30,000 in health care, you know, medical bills.
Right.
And it's stupid because, you know, we are the richest country on the face of the earth. But on the other hand, I don't think they should be paying for my health insurance premiums on a monthly basis.
I'm Scotty is typing here and go Eric, and Eric is my new god on the screen. So you have got, you and Scotty is now the he's the chief and treasurer, I believe, of the Eric fan club, sir.
Well, you know that Mormon thing, there are multiple gods, and you know, maybe one day
you two could be a god on Kolob, sir.
There
all
you
right
go.
Thank you, Eric. God bless you. Thanks for listening, and you spread the word. You call us anytime.
We'll do. Thanks.
Right, there you go. See what a big tent this is. The Rick Emerson Show draws from a wide base. Conservative Mormon lad calling up there. Pure as the driven snow. Here's Tim Riley.
On to B we go.
On to B we go.
For this fun-filled adventure from Sacramento.
Oh, you know, did you see that there's an actual story from the Cleveland Clinic on the front page of...
I think
it was the front of the Oregonian or something today.
We'll be discussing the Cleveland Clinic later.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. All right.
The family of 28-year-old Jennifer Strange has filed a lawsuit against the radio station The N, an intercom station, that sponsored a water drinking contest that led to the death of the Rancho Cordova mother of three. Nina Hulst discovered her daughter's body. She says she can't believe how the station, an intercom station, handled the contest.
Just knowing that, you know, that she was there and she was suffering and they had knowledge and they did nothing about it. How human can a person be?
Yes.
Well, that's depressing. Happy Friday, everybody.
Yeah, that case is just...
Oh, they're hosed.
Yeah.
They're hosed. They're beyond hosed. There's no word for how hosed... Not the family. I'm talking about it. There's no word for the hosing. Yes?
I don't really know how radio stations work like this. How big of an impact can it make on Entercom as a corporation?
Oh, I think
Well, the management will stay. Yes,
and
no,
the buildings will be empty.
The doors will be locked. You'll need a pass card to get inside. Other than that, it's business as usual.
I was going to say, I was going to say, if you wear cufflinks or if you drive a Lexus, you're probably fine.
Vacation.
If you... if you...
over the age of 50.
If you carry a battered briefcase to work... or if you ever wear a t-shirt through the doors of the company, you are probably in trouble. Update resumes now. It's not going to do you any good, probably, but you might want to do it anyway. Yeah, no, it's this, it is sort of this weird, this weird inverse maxim where, like, the bigger the problem, the more insulated the people at the top of the company seem to be from it somehow. I don't know. Imagine how many DJs they'll have to fire to make up for this. I mean, they just fired a bunch of people at Kissin, and that was just because they had, like, a couple of bad quarters or something. Imagine how many weekend part-timers they'll have to fire to distract everybody from this problem. So, there you go.
Yes, the mother of the late girl said the primary motivation for the lawsuit is not money.
I want nobody else to have to suffer this pain that our family is suffering.
Good God.
She may never be able to come with the terms of the tragedy.
Just knowing that, you know, that she was there and she was suffering and they had knowledge and
we just play that?
They did nothing about it. How human can a person be?
I mean, it's like that.
I don't understand that.
I think I might have played that twice.
Well, next we're going to go to number four and speak with attorney Roger Dreyer, who said the suit accuses employees of being despicable, vile, and contemptible.
And kooky.
The management knew, understood, promoted, pushed, prodded,
poked
their own employees.
Spindled.
To test the edge of decency.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's going against after the management.
Well,
did you hear that?
We'll see.
I don't think anything will happen.
The management knew, understood, promoted, pushed, prodded their own employees to test the edges of decency.
Well, and did you see the list of people they fired? Because they fired, 10 people at that radio station?
They were overstaffed to begin with.
really, in Entercom radio terms especially, that was a fat company.
That was like enough people for six stations working.
They needed...
Meanwhile, half of them was still... There's dead air going on. Most of them, and nobody knows. They're sitting there microwaving their lunches while they're out there.
just a traffic bed playing with nothing over the top of it. But they fired just the most ancillary people, like the assistant call screener and crap. I saw that somebody sent me the list. I don't have it in front of me, but I mean, like the poor Scotty J. Of that show, that morning show. And I mean, not that the DJ...
I wonder if Fester got fired.
Idiot. Oh, no, Fester, you know, anybody whose name is in... But the thing is, that's the irony. See, this is the irony, is that all of those, the DJs that did it, they'll probably get hired again.
They're just pros on the loose.
Yeah, they're... that's a radio term. That's from... Is that from R&R?
Yeah, that's old.
Pros on the loose is the sad, that's the sad euphemism that R&R magazine, which is Radio and Records, which is the was anyway.
It hasn't been for years.
The definitive trade magazine for radio. Pros on the loose was the depressing euphemism they would give the please hire me column, the positions sought column. Pros on the loose, and it was a whole lot of like young, exciting, energetic, eager. We'll do anything to make it. Willing to relocate to any market. Honk,
oh,
honk.
So sad.
Pros on the loose. None of them were pros. None of them. It's all just it's a bunch of guys who smell and didn't shave a whole lot, who, again, carried around like a battered tan briefcase. What is it with DJs carrying around battered if I see one more DJ carrying a briefcase, like you've got moon landing papers, like you've got CIA briefing documents or something, you've got the Pentagon papers inside there. There was some memo that went out in about 1989. Or all DJs had to carry brown, and you know what the brown, they were exactly the same color brown as those big cushiony, like, cassette tape cases with the handle that they put out in, like, 1989. Anyway, wonder if they'll put the contest on there. Well, that's the thing, is everybody knows, yeah, everybody knows who they are. That Fester guy has probably got more name recognition right now than, like, 80% of the DJs in this country.
Well, attorney Dreyer says station personnel were heard up the air joking about people dying from drinking too much water.
These people were taking pictures of people throwing up, laying on the floor, teeth chattering, having their brain shut down because of swelling.
Oh, that's
unfortunate. Then we'll start evaluating who knew what.
Oh, let's hear that one more time, shall we?
These people were taking pictures of people throwing up, laying on the floor, teeth chattering, having their brain shut down because of swelling. Then we'll start evaluating who knew what.
Okay. Well, that guy sounds like he's just warming up. So there'll be more fodder coming from that for quite some time, I would imagine. There you go. There's the latest in the Enterkill Radio saga. Here's Tim Riley.
Wildlife officials credit a woman for saving her husband's life by clubbing a mountain lion that attacked him while the couple were hiking in a California state park. Jim and Nell Ham, who will celebrate their 50th anniversary next Aww. Month, were hiking in Prairie Creek when the lion pounced. Apparently, he didn't scream. It was a different horrible plea for help, and I turned around. That's when the cat had wrestled Jim to the ground, said Nell. After the attack, the game wardens closed down the park, which is north of San Francisco, and released the hounds.
Did you really just say, and release the hounds?
Yes, I did. Because they did release the hounds to track down the lion. Couldn't a lion attack a hound?
Okay.
Well, they later shot and killed a pair of lions. Just to get even.
Do you suppose they asked if he knew the lion in question?
Yeah, it's like tracking down Iraqis and shooting them.
Or Iranians.
Or Iranians, you know, whatever. Iraq.
Yeah, it just doesn't matter. Do you suppose they were like, tell him, give us up, where's Ted? I don't know. And then they just killed, I can't really make the joke because I can't make lion noises. That joke could be a lot funnier.
So this lady's the hero here. She took a pen out of her pocket.
They released and jabbed him in the eye. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, I gotta move past the release the hounds. I thought releasing the hounds was a thing that only Mr. Burns did on The Simpsons. That's why I can't get past that to him.
No, apparently there's still a protected area that's labeled the hounds, and that's where they're kept.
I wonder if there was a...
There's
a huge brass plate on the wall with a red button that says the hounds. Okay, so they're out walking. Is it a cougar or a mountain lion?
It is a mountain lion.
Are they the same thing? Anyone? Bueller? Cougar, mountain lion. What's the difference?
I'm not a wildlife expert.
Okay. I don't listen to hip-hop. So the mountain lion jumps on the husband. The woman's like 70, isn't she?
Yeah.
And she jabs it in the... This is the second...
Jabs him in the eye with a pen. Not the husband, but the mountain lion.
Let me help you. He's been bothering me. This is the second story inside of a week of somebody fending off a wild, carnivorous man-eater by jabbing into the eye with something. The moral is, always go for the eye. or the junk. If you can go for the junk, that helps too. So she jabs the mountain lion in the eye with a pen. The mountain lion runs away, and then they release the hounds.
Mm-hmm. I think this is afterwards.
The best story of the week. Fantastic.
And they were lucky that they found a ranger in a forest. How often is that going to happen? So then he's saved. He's in the hospital. He's got a battered and bruised, but not too bad.
And it was on their anniversary.
Yeah.
That's the best story ever. She'll be on Letterman.
So nobody has inspected the carcasses of the dead mountain lions to see if one has been poked in the eye, but it makes everyone feel a little bit better that...
Let's go kill something furry.
Right.
Let's see. Don in Canby.
Hey, Don. I mean, sorry about that.
Okay.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
And I hate to be a downer and bring your show down.
Now, let's think about this.
This is premeditated.
Well, I was going to say.
No,
hold on.
This isn't my chance.
Hold on a second. Now, it sounds to me. Now, what I'm going to do here is,
play a kooky music bit.
Yes, that's exactly. Well done, Tim Riley. That's exactly what I'm going
to
do.
To lift our spirits.
I am.
Well, we're stuck with this little problem.
Hold on a second. I can't find my. Where's my kooky music bit? Hold on a second. You can't speak for a second, sir. We're gonna pretend that this is going flawlessly.
Okay.
I used to have my when the hell did my popcorn bed go?
Well, while you're looking, I have the answer to your puma cougar question too.
What is the difference between a cougar and a mountain lion?
Nothing.
Okay, well, that ate up a second and a half of
it. It depends on which part of the country, and they're called cougars, mountain lions, pumas, panthers.
Like a coyote and a coyote.
The South, they're called panthers. The Northeast are called pumas. The Southwest are called cougars. The West Coast are called mountain lions. It's all the same animal.
Hey, sir, do you know where my popcorn bed went?
No, didn't you?
It might be moved to the new studio.
They've moved. I can't find my popcorn bed. And popcorn was, which was fantastic. Popcorn was my. Do you really want to say what you're about to say?
Yes, I do. Okay. It's nothing bad. It's just a question I have for you.
Ruining the whole bit. All right, fine. Go ahead, sir.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Don't worry about me.
Okay. You go on day after day after day about how lousy the radio business is.
Yes.
And why did you go into it, and why does anybody go into it and stay if it is such a horrible place to be?
Who wants to take that question? Tim Riley in the back.
Well, I enjoyed it immensely.
It doesn't sound like it. All you guys do is complain about management, about this. You never have a job. You never know when you're going to have a job. You get paid horribly. Your conditions you work in are pitiful.
Well, that's,
what is it
well,
that
well,
makes
I,
you go into radio?
I think you're nitpicking.
Okay, I probably am.
No,
I also work for TriMet, so I know how being miserable and... But going back to work every day is, so.
It's just a miserable routing on it.
All right. Let me just say, before we say anything else, sir. See, this is the bet I would have played while you were thinking about whether you wanted to ask this question.
Well, no, I do. I am really interested.
No respect for the bit.
I want to get into your head and find out.
No respect. You want to suck out my tasty knowledge and wisdom.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Let's play your popcorn music.
The moment is past. All right. Now, here's the thing. Well, we make fun of radio as an industry a lot, but you say that we make fun of management. Now we have had nothing but we've had nothing but compliments here for CBS. We've been treated very well at CBS. Look,
complain about CBS every day.
That is not true.
Not true.
That is not true. That is not
CBS.
That is not true.
No microwaves. No toilet paper. No soap. No air in your cubicle. No light. Coming in, the doors are locked, no one's there, you know.
Okay, hold on. First of all,
they've taken us to lunch twice.
I was going
to
say, I think you're...
Constant, and that's why I'm calling, because I just want to know why you're in it. I love the show. I listen to it every day. I'm sitting in front of work listening to you because I enjoy the show so much.
Well, that's my motivation right there. If I can make you smile, that's really all I need. Well, I do this because I have no other abilities or demonstrable skills, and I have no talent for any other activity.
Yes, but over the years, couldn't you have developed talent rather than being miserable?
You'd think so. You'd think so, but it doesn't. The empirical data doesn't really indicate that that's the case.
Okay, but I still. What's the motivation though behind not? You know, the lousy hours, the lousy pay, the lousy working conditions, what is the plus of being there? There has to, other than you have no other skills. There's got to be. A reason
to be there.
Well, I enjoy what I do for a living. I think we all enjoy it, but like any industry. Look, I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care what you, how happy you are. I don't care. Look, you see every Hollywood celebrity that goes on in Hollywood. You take some guy who's an actor. You take some Brad Pitt guy. Brad Pitt, who is fantastically wealthy, famous, could have any woman in the world of his choosing. Is he married? They're married, right? Angelina Jolie. When he's with some hot girl, he's a celebrity. He never, you know, he'll never have to pay for a meal for the rest of his life. I mean, that's a guy who's got, you know, he's got things wired pretty well in his life. You see that guy in an interview, what does he do? He can blame, well, it's a lack of privacy, and the media never respects you, and it's the paparazzi, and, well, I hate having to sell out and make Hollywood films, and really I want to make art films that come from within my soul. No matter what you work in, no matter what your career, no matter what you do for a living, you will find something about it that you think could be better. You'll find something that you think could be done differently. That being said, most of our complaints about radio, most of the things we say about radio that is terrible, are not things that happen here. Because really, I don't think, I mean, apart from the fact that we went like a year with no napkins in the kitchen, I can't really think of anything about CBS or about working here that's bad. Well, we have said a lot of things about radio in general, about places we've worked in the past, stations we've worked in the past, companies that have employed us in the past, some of them good, some of them not so good, most of them somewhere in the middle. But, I mean, I don't think any of us would be... Look, there are easier ways to make money, and so I don't think anybody would be here doing this if we didn't enjoy what we were doing. So, I mean... You know, there's some guy out there that's having to put pieces of concrete in a bucket and carry it down the road and dump it into a dumpster and then walk back and do the same thing over again. And he does that 5,000 times every day for not a great deal of money. This is a better job to have than that.
Okay. He spent $20,000 to get a part-time job making minimum wage.
Yeah, well...
Why?
Well, sir, when you start to ask why about Scotty J., we now enter into a whole different... All right. I'm just going to bring the curtain down. That was just going nowhere.
Yeah.
All right. Here's... Oh, my God. It's 12:35.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Jesus Christ. All right.
What are we going to do?
We got to break. I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound jerky, but it was just going to be... It was just going to be a long, long, drawn-out... My shrink appointment isn't until Monday. Seriously. And I get to play Meatloaf. You go to your job, you have to sit there and listen to goddamn music on the intercom. I get to play Meatloaf and talk about boobs. All right. Back after this, and we get to talk to Jim Roop later on. 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson Radio Program continues next. Explain Scotty's crush on me. All right. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Am I going to do on the mouth? We got to get that sound effect. It would be nice. Well, I'm doing the Buffalo Bill voice. That's what makes it creepy. Because I can't do Philip Seymour Hoffman's voice from Boogie Nights.
Jerk!
That's pretty close.
Maybe.
Uncomfortably close.
You like my car? Hello, it's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Let's see. This is Mike. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Are you there?
Let me see. Wait. Yes, I am.
I'm going over Trinity's Path. I'm in my car. But...
Oh, that's okay.
Hey, listen. I've known Scotty J. for a long time, and I got to tell you something. He loves the broadcasting business so much. This guy left a job where he was making, you're not going to believe this, he made a couple $100,000 a year.
Well, he did real estate, or he and Mrs. J did real estate, or do real estate, or something like that.
No. Mrs. J stayed home on her ass while Scotty J was bringing home the big money. And I mean, this guy was making a lot of money. He bought a big house, and he left it all because he wanted to pursue his dream of broadcasting and getting into that business.
Let's call it what it is. He left it for Rick Emerson. He left all of that behind for moi.
He left it for Rick Emerson, liberal views, the whole thing, just to hang, walk the halls, and be part of the program.
He did know. This is why, now, this is all kidding aside, we had a guy call... I don't know, a few months ago, because somebody was having a little bit of fun with Scotty J. Someone was, they were having a little bit of, they were making a merry jape at his expense. And a guy called up, and a guy who's like 41, 42, something like that. Guy called up and he said, you know what, he said, you got to lay off Scotty. And he said, because you know what, all kidding aside, Scotty is sort of the externalization. He is the embodiment of what a lot of guys, you know, would wish they could do. Scotty, it worked, and yeah, he worked at a so-called real job that, you know, he made some money, but it was high stress, it was not a lot of fun, yeah. Not very interesting. And you know what? Got to a point where he was like, chuck it, you know, screw it all. And it left it, walked away, and kind of reinvented it. You know, just said, well, I want to be in radio, and decided to do that at a point in his life when a lot of people would say, well, you're too old to be shifting careers. You know, and he kind of did that anyway. So God love him. So
it's pretty cool. Well, and because of that, that's why Mrs. J, she had to go out and make a career in real estate. And she's actually doing very well. But the moral is, at any age, you can just take and follow your dream and do what you love. And Scotty J has the biggest bathroom with plasma TVs in his shower you've ever seen. And I'm not kidding.
Do you have a plasma TV in your shower, Scotty?
What?
I demand an answer right now.
True story, Rick.
Hold on. I'm waiting. Scotty typing on the screen. Tell caller to shut up. Do you have a plasma television in your shower? Hold on. I know that this is the news hour, but...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack!
I demand an answer to this right now. Now, I knew that you lived in the suburbs, and I knew that you and Mrs. J had, at one point, the dual income, or the you'd done the real estate, whatever. Do you have a television in your shower?
We have dueling banjos. Oh, sorry.
Do you have a television in your shower?
Yes.
Are you screwing with me? Are you effing with me?
The suburbs has cable TV, Rick. The suburbs have telephones. We have things out there.
I have never heard of
That's
anyone having
not
a...
not really the question.
A
Why do you need... I mean, please tell me that there's some non-sexual answer to this. Why do you need a television in
I didn't
your
even
show?
Think like that. Is you're
so
pervy.
Is it so you and Mrs. J can watch blue films while you're soaping?
How are you supposed to keep up on Fox News? Especially if you're doing your business.
All right, that's...
You know,
doing your business.
Did you know that some of the newer homes have televisions built into the bathroom mirror so a lady can put on her makeup and watch television at the same time?
You all disgust me. You all fill me with furious loathing. All right, it's not
that unusual what Scotty has in his home.
Boy, it's just tempting to fire that guy sometimes just out of spite. I mean, I'd rehire him like a day or so later, but just because. It's so tempting, when I hear things like that, it's tempting to just be like, you're fired, you know, and then we'd need him back the next day. But I mean, just I wonder how hard it would be to push through some sort of paperwork that would allow me just to fire him occasionally, just to fire him for no real reason, and then just to hire him back in a snap. Like if I could get some sort of automatic recycling paperwork or something that would make that, like I could just push a button and it would process the forms.
Was your name Mike?
Mike is gone.
Oh, okay. Because I wanted to ask his thoughts about Mrs. J, because he seems a little angry.
No, Mike. Well, I heard that. Mrs. J sitting on her ass! All right. Well, we'll talk more about Mrs. J later. We'll learn how Scotty transformed her from a Democrat into a Republican. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley. This whole program is so strange today.
Well, it's time for a visit to the Cleveland Clinic, one of our favorite places to be.
Oh, fantastic. Excellent.
So reboot to A, if you will.
Reboot to A. Mm-hmm. Okay, I am ready, and let's go.
Up to Cleveland we go for the surprising discovery. Scientists have found damage to the deep part of the brain that will actually make people stop or start smoking. Now, it's a small study, especially on the Cleveland level.
Where is this at?
Cleveland.
At what hospital?
The Cleveland Clinic.
All right, there we go.
Dr. Kathy Sila didn't participate in the study.
Sila.
Mm-hmm. She's a foreigner of some sort.
Okay.
But now she's an American. Didn't participate in the study, but has read the outcome.
It's a very interesting observation. I think this is an observation where a brain injury actually can result in a positive outcome. We're very used to thinking of stroke-related deficits as negative things.
So let me understand this. So it's possible to quit smoking if someone just damages your brain deeply
enough. That is correct, yes.
So if you were just to be held down and beaten repeatedly in the head with a large blunt object of some kind, you might be able to pass up the next pack of Pall Malls.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Scotty, we found your cure.
Well, experts say if you're stressed out of work, don't bring your bad day home to the children.
Yeah.
Now, new study shows job stress can affect the youngsters. Many parents don't know it, according to Dr. Michael McKee of the Cleveland Clinic.
Oh, I had no idea. All right, there you go.
I think as parents, we often think we can fool our kids. But kids often are very sensitive.
And
if you bring home stress, if it's kind of radiating out from you, kids can feel it, hear it, taste the smell it. It's in the air.
That is unbelievably
creepy.
That's
awesome.
Wait, that absolutely requires... You know what that requires.
I know what that requires. Do it. Find it.
All right, hold on. Let me just play that. Let's try that one again. Jeff.
I think as parents, we often think we can fool our kids. But kids often are very sensitive.
It gets creepier.
Bring home stress, if it's kind of radiating out from you, kids can feel it, hear it, taste it, smell it. It's in the air.
He put the little round object in his mouth. It was delicious.
Oh, that never gets old. Fantastic.
Yes, parents need to work on managing their stress before they get home.
You can take a slow, deep abdominal breath and let go of a lot of the physiological arousal. And your mind will be clear when you say, hey, there's always tomorrow.
Deep abdominal breath? I've been breathing through my hair all this time.
Oh, you breathe from the diaphragm.
What was I thinking? All right.
Well, the Cleveland Clinic has settled a lawsuit filed by the family of a woman who died 7 years after a surgeon left a rolled-up towel inside her chest. The confidential agreement that we know about with Bonnie Bally's family came yesterday after 2 weeks with a trial in Cleveland. Apparently, Bally had surgery for emphysema at the Cleveland Clinic back in 1995 and died at the age of 60 in 2002. She donated her body to science to help others, where a dissection revealed a green surgical towel the size of a large hand towel was left in her left lung.
You guys want to die of abdominal blockage?
Have your operation at the Cleveland Clinic. Her family sued in 2004, claiming that because Valley's doctors never found the towel, she suffered serious complications, medical expenses, and died.
How do you lose a towel inside somebody? What would you even have a rolled-up towel inside? Like, what is the purpose that the towel originally, but it would have been jammed inside your colon? Where was it jammed?
Inside the lung.
Why? Like, what is the...
I'm not a surgeon. I couldn't tell.
Ran out of room in the cupboard or something? Do we have any open spaces where we can store this? And I've got... Where am I going to put the good china when mother is here? And then you just put it inside a woman's thorax.
Sure.
Well, all right.
So, that's that. She lived 7 years, which is certainly as well as one might expect her to survive, giving her severe emphysema and poor pulmonary function.
She lived for 7 years with a towel inside one of her lungs?
That isn't bad.
But wouldn't you notice it? I mean, wouldn't you...
I feel like I have a towel in my lungs.
That's what I'm saying.
What would that feel like?
How would you... You could have a towel in your lungs right now. You wouldn't know.
Oh, that's just creepy. That's like when you hear those people that they have like forceps or something inside their bladder or whatever, the doctor's leaves in it. Like, because I know like your brain itself doesn't have nerve endings. Like, I could cut open your skull, Tim Riley.
Uh-huh. And just I allowed you to do so.
Well, I'm just saying, if perhaps we were bored...
I think we'll have to clear it with legal first.
That'll be our big fall promotion. If we were to cut open somebody's skull and you could just jab their brain with something pointy, they don't even feel it. Because your brain has... That's the paradox. Your brain, which, of course, is responsible for sensing all pain and sensation in the body. Your brain has no nerve endings of its own. So, like, you could just cut somebody's brain right out. They wouldn't even feel it. But your lungs, I would imagine, have, you know, things, nerve endings, so you can feel stuff. That's how you can feel, like, when you're coughing and there's a painful cough, it's because you can feel in your lungs. What would the sensation be like of having a towel inside one of your lungs? And wouldn't you eventually notice that? I mean, wouldn't you eventually notice that there was a large dish rag rattling around inside your left lung?
Well, apparently not. It went on for a long time.
All right.
Off to New England we go, to Warwick, Rhode Island. Class from now on will not allow talking during lunch. A Roman Catholic elementary school adopted new lunchtime rules this week requiring students to remain silent while eating. The move comes after 3 recent chokings in the cafeteria. Nobody was hurt, but the principal of St. Rose of Lima School explained in a letter to parents that if the lunchroom is loud, staff members cannot hear a child choking. Christine Lemieux, who's a 12-year-old...
Lemieux!
Is
worst teenage experience ever, commencing in 365 days.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Lemieux!
Well, it's a common French name,
no,
by the way.
You know what? This ain't France. Mm-hmm. This ain't France, and that girl's going to be taken Valium by the fistful. Lemieux.
Well, anyway, her daughter is a 12-year-old and a 6th grader at the school. She respects the safety issue, but thinks the rule is a bad idea. They are silent all day. Like, that's a problem. They have to get some kind of release. She suggested quiet conversation allowed during lunch.
I'm sure.
They made a confessional.
Is this a Catholic school?
Yes, it is.
I'm sure the children have been given release already.
Another mother, Thina Peone, does not mind the silent lunches, noting that the cafeteria can be very crazy at the school south of Providence. The principal's letter also spelled out new luncheon rules, including requiring students to stay in their seats and limiting them to one trip to the trash can.
Are we really talking about lunchtime rules that have been put on fourth graders at a Catholic school in a part of the country where none of us are ever going to live?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just say this about that girl named Lemou. First of all, sorry. Secondly, I went to school with a girl whose last name was Holstein. It's true. I swear to God it's true. I won't give her first name. I mean, but her last name was Holstein. Spelled, pronounced just like the cow. And she had
a weight problem?
Yes.
Big breath?
Well, no. No, she was the worst of all worlds. Tiny chest, big birthing hips. Big baby pushing hips. Huge ass. Just shaped like a pear.
Where is she today?
I don't know, and it would be improper of me to speculate. I'm simply going to say that she did not have a pleasant teenage life. Because, you know, the thing about your
I told you about my, the girl that I went to school with, her name was Bajot. I told you about this.
How is it spelled?
F-A-G-G-O-T.
Oh, no.
I don't remember that.
Yes.
I don't remember you ever telling me that story. I think that would stick with me.
It was awful.
We
went to the same high school together. She was like a grade older than me, but her mother was one of the Bible study teacher things.
Joe. That's the Isaiah Washington defense.
So bad.
Yeah. Okay.
Special.
Well, you know what? I swear to God, and this is what the National Enquirer would call a checkable fact, by the way, that I went to school with a girl whose last name was Pissy, P-I-S-S-Y. That was her last name. That was the girl's last name. That was, in fact, her last name. And you know what?
Wow.
And it was written on like a big piece of wood outside her front door. You know, where it says like,
you know.
Did
she play sports?
The Dillons. Except it was like her last name. That was her last name.
That would be so rad if she played sports. She would be a badass with that written on the back of her jersey.
Yeah, that was in fact her last name. So, this was so awkward. Maybe it was Scotty then that knew the guy who, I know, he grew up on Gay Street somewhere. There was some guy who called our show one time, maybe then it was. He was like, he lived at like, you know, it's like one of those envelopes, 123 Anytown, but he like, his address was like 123 Gay Street. And it's...
There is a Gay Street in Portland.
The 80s were... See, now... I mean, I'm not saying that's pleasant now if you're a kid, but the 80s weren't especially bad time for that. I think it was a less enlightened time. Most of us have come a long way. Most of us who are not Isaiah Washington have come a long way since then about how we refer to things and the kind of humor we engage in. Fajot is really... it costs...
I'm going to try and find her on MySpace right now.
It costs $50 to go and change your name. It costs $50... Jeff Galloway did it.
I mean... Her mother was also the weirdest looking person I have still ever seen in my life.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's from the numerous suicide attempts, I would imagine. Why am I cursed with this name?
No, and the girl, I won't give her first name, but yeah, and she was just...
No, she'll be easy to find. I don't think the first name is required. I think she'll be easy to pick out.
She's just had she had a weight problem and she didn't have it easy anyway.
But why would you bother? If that's your... I mean, seriously. Why would you bother to stay thin and attractive through your teenage years? You know that nothing is going to get better until you turn 19. That's the thing. You know that nothing is going to get better until you're out on your own.
But you could be married at a youthful age.
I suppose. About Scotty J, this email says, seriously, can you shove him in front of a honey bucket truck with a pointed stick to the groin? Thank you. Here's Tim Riley.
Dateline Chattanooga, Tennessee, 6 girls at a high school are charged with homicidal conspiracy after their principal found a list of 300 names and officials discovered online postings suggesting they kill people. School officials said the list discovered in the classroom trash can mostly named students and faculty members, but also included Tom Cruise, Oprah, and the Energizer Bunny. Sasquatchie County High School principal Tommy Lane said he initially considered it a joke, but that authorities then found the 9th graders' online MySpace pages and It included the word kill. In general terms, it was like, let's kill these people, said the police chief.
Fantastic. I mean, that's wrong. You shouldn't do it.
I'm not saying we throttled a shooting incident or an act of violence, said he. On the other hand, if this went unchecked, somewhere down the road, it could have gotten into something a whole lot more serious than a list of names.
You know, it used to be just boys who tried to kill people in school. I don't know when girls started getting all wacky about this. Never mind. I don't want to talk about it. But that used to be just a male activity, just sitting around in class and drawing up lists. Girls were just busy making those paper flower things that told you who you were going to marry.
Oh, no, girls are vicious.
Yeah, but typically girls are vicious in the slappy sense,
total fantasies about killing girls that I went to school with.
Really?
I think everybody did. Well especially because...
It would have been easy to get away with it.
No, I'm just saying that girls weren't particularly nice to me.
See, let me just tell you that we had this discussion one time, and I started talking about this, and everybody looked at me as though I was a little... Everybody looked at me as though my marbles had come untethered. When I was talking about how I used to sit... Now, it wasn't necessarily other students. I can speak openly about this now because I've dealt with my anger issues, and I am now a more balanced and even-keeled individual. I used to sit in class, though, and I will not identify any of them by name, but I had several teachers that are among the worst people who've ever lived. And I used to sit in class and just have... And not... These were not vague fantasies, like, well, it'd be great if she wasn't here tomorrow. These were like full-color THX sound, like Technicolor, multi-reel, widescreen fantasies. We're like, I could see like a section of the ceiling coming loose, and landing on my principal's head while she was at the front of the class yelling at me about the perceived infraction of mine. I know that that's stuff that you're supposed to get past. And let me ask you this. When you think back about that, I know this makes it sound all mental, but what are you going to do? It's part of our allure. It's part of our edgy charm. When you think about that, and I mean, do you wonder, though, if everybody has that and they just have the good sense not to talk about it? Because Sarah and I were talking about this during the break.
I have a lot of friends who, who had no problems in high school. I always feel kind of weird.
Just say it.
No, because I just had a hard, because when I had to move, I didn't know anybody, and then I'd try to talk to people in the cafeteria, they'd be mean to me, so I'd have to go eat my lunch in the library.
Yeah. Or in the bathroom. Oh, you were like, what's his name? You were like Harry in Pump Up the Volume.
Yeah, I was
sitting there eating your blackjack gum and reading Kerouac.
I would try to sneak my lunch in the library until the librarian told me you couldn't eat in there, and I got kicked out.
Oh, just trying to find a place just to be left alone.
Yeah, and then I finally got up the nerve, this is the last one, which I finally got the nerve to talk to, one of the girls sitting at a table and asked if I could sit with them, and then I sat there and they ignored me.
Oh,
it was awful.
Terrible.
And then a couple of years later, after I had met people, she started dating one of my friends, and I never talked to her. I would never talk to her. I was still so mad about it.
When I went to high school, I had this whole dress for invisibility thing. That was my deal. Because a lot of big kids will like act out by dressing really aggressively and becoming very bizarre. And my whole thing was like, don't notice me. And it's like I would just if I'd had some sort of Excel spreadsheet. If I'd known how to do this, if I could have statistically calculated what was the single most commonly worn set of clothes, I would have done so. So I could wear that and then just, blend into the background. I just wanted to be like with Zach Braff in Garden State, just vanishing into the wallpaper. Don't look at me. Don't notice me. Don't talk to me. Pay no attention to me ever. That was my whole thing. But we were just talking about this during the break when what's-his-name, Buzzkill, was calling up earlier in the air. Why do you guys, if you hate radio, why are you there? And he was being a Johnny Lift Me Up. And we were saying that really this is, I say this now realizing how retarded it is since I am going to therapy on Monday. I was going to say this is cheaper than therapy, which it still is. So it's like getting two therapy sessions, for the price of one or something. But I do often wonder, though, when Sarah and I sit and talk about this kind of stuff, whether everybody kind of has these thoughts. But you're right, they probably don't, though.
Maybe it's just us.
I think it might just be just us and Jen Lane. I think that's it.
That's why I always feel a little different from my friends sometimes, because I know that they were cool in high school, and I'm like, I really was not so much.
No, yeah, and I can sort of put on the thin veneer, not of cool, but it's just sort of like at least passing for normal now. But if you just scratch that,
why are we talking about?
Because we were talking about these girls who wanted to kill a bunch of people at school. And my whole thing is this: I was talking to Chris, who works across the hall, one of the geeks in the engineering department, who works with kids now. He's like getting his teacher's degree or something. He wants to be around children for some reason. And but I was just saying, here's why. I was talking to Chris, and I swear to God, I'm just going to touch on this very briefly, because we were talking about, what's her name, Taylor Swift, who's like 15, the country chick, and she's amazingly well-poised for like a 15-year-old. She's like a lot of those Haley Joel Osment, Dakota Fanning types, very well-poised. She can turn it on, turn it off. And the thing is, I don't understand how that's possible, because I was like clinically insane as a teenager, which is why it's hard for me to be too judgmental about Mailman Chris's nutty kid, who's always cutting himself and setting fire to squirrels or whatever. I think I was probably literally insane for about 80% of my teenage years. It really is amazing that I didn't kill hundreds of people. I mean, I think it's only because I didn't have a gun and I had no free time, and I didn't have a car. I think if I'd had a car and a good bag of lime, I shudder to think what I might have done. It really is true. And you, and see, and somebody had emailed me the other day. Do you remember that woman who emailed, and I'm over time, but I don't care, that woman who had emailed and she'd asked about Helen Reddy versus Tony Tennille, and she was talking about girls that are hot versus girls that are approachable versus girls whatever, and I was thinking about this. There is this whole phenomenon of girls who are disliked by other girls. Girls that other girls just don't like. And this woman had mentioned Angelina Jolie. And how Angelina Jolie seems like she's one of those women that other women just don't like, like personally. And I was thinking about, well, where does that come from? Like, why is that? Because we all know, because you were saying that other girls didn't like you. And you have made a reference to the fact that, that even in recent times, there have been females that you encounter in whatever walk of life that don't really seem to... They don't really seem to be in the Sarah Dillon fan club. Let's put that. We'll put that sort of.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes,
put
that
gently.
Yes. Okay, that took me a second.
There are women that you encounter, let's say, in whatever realm of your life, personal, professional, whatever, who just seem to dislike you for no reason. And I just say that because you've made that same observation. And I just wonder where that comes from. I wonder why that is, that some women just have that vibe, that other women just instinctively despise them.
I used to have a problem with it. Now I'm kind of zen with it.
All right.
I realize that...
Screw them.
Yeah.
That's our attitude. Here's Tim Riley. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how are you?
Tim, how was your high school experience?
Oh, we're embittered.
Mine was fine, actually.
There was, like, probably prom king and...
No, I just ignored other people, never bothered to learn their names. I never acknowledged your existence, and nobody acknowledged mine.
See, Tim learned the shunning early on. If only I'd been better at that. All right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Meanwhile, a Connecticut woman born to former slaves in the decades following the U.S. Civil War has become the world's oldest person. She's 114. And I've noticed the world's oldest person dies every day, so there's a new one.
Well, no,
so she's the latest one.
No, it is like stepping up one in line, as I would say. Yeah, oh, she's...
I can't tell.
I can't even tell where her face is.
Is this picture taken sideways? Upside down?
It's just a bunch of weird bumpy shapes.
Oh, wow.
What you know that? She hates being alive. We're looking at this picture of the woman who's 114. I'm sure she's living it up, too.
She was born in North Carolina, which must have been joyous.
I can't... It's because this is a black woman, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah, she must have had... Yeah, yeah. The first half of her life must have been a real cakewalk. Yeah.
She's 114. She's lived a good, honorable, straight life.
Oh.
But nobody asked your opinion about this.
No. No. No, her spokespeople say this.
Well, she smartly moved to Connecticut, where people are treated a little bit better. She moved into the nursing home at the age of 110. She is not available for interviews. Sometimes she just doesn't like talking.
I'd like you to lightly...
in the past 5 years or so. We know that she's still alive.
Can you lightly scrape your fingernail on the counter once for yes?
She blinks her eyes as she's fed mush every day.
It's time for your gruel injection. Please hold still. Oh, man, just kill me.
She still
not
manages
today.
A steady pulse and sometimes cracks a smile.
Well, they think it's a smile. I think it might just be her lips receding, flaking away. Her skin pulling away from her teeth. Yeah. All right. Well, if I ever get to be... Seriously,
She's starting to feel less energetic than she once has.
Then when she was a mere slip of a youth at 109, when she was able to get up and dance the Lindy Hop every day.
Mm-hmm.
God, did you ever meet really old people, though, and you just... And I don't mean to sound morbid about this, but you just... Like, I hope that by the time I get to be, like, I don't know, 70, that there are those Futurama suicide booths, you know what I mean? Where you can just go and just put in a quarter, and it's, you know, press one for fast, two for slow and horrible, you know, and I press one, and it... Gone. Gone, pile of ash, and then it just sucks me into a little tube and blows me into space.
I just realized we haven't taken a break.
Yeah, I know, but we've got all this uplifting, life-affirming talk that we're doing
here.
Well,
a friend of mine...
High school death lists and how I wish I was dead.
A friend of mine has a mother. Well, he only has one mother.
who just turned 100 years old living in a nursing home. It's not really a nursing home. It's an insane asylum, and she's been in there since she's been 35.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
She's been there since she's 35?
Uh-huh. And she just turned 100.
I can't tell if it's too soon or not. I think it might, in fact, be that. Too soon.
The funny part.
So every year on her birthday, they bring her a box of See's candy, and the nurses steal it.
They bring her a box of See's candy and watch her shriek in horror because she thinks it's some sort of automated killing machine. All right. The best part was how you just unlayered that in sort of steps too. She's been in a nursing home. You know, well, it's not really a nursing home so much as it is an insane asylum. And she's 100. And she's been there for 65 years. And it was just sort of like a gentle unfolding of the various layers in that story. Yeah, I mean,
how could you not like the too soon sounder?
I like the too soon sounder.
It's awesome.
I have to get it loaded as a wave so that I can play it the drop of a hat or something. You just see old people, though, and you can tell they just got that sort of like, well, I was hoping I wouldn't wake up this morning.
That was like my grandma, my grandma who passed away this Christmas. She used to... I would say, like, every holiday, and we're like, oh, Merry Christmas, Grandma. She's like, oh, I hope it's my last.
Good times.
And my mom had to pull her aside and like, stop saying that to the girl, Grandma.
What do you want for Christmas, Grandma? Sweet death. the cold embrace of the Reaper. You have your bit of... Boy, that'll be a buzzkill at holidays. I hope it's my last.
Yeah, every holiday. That's what she'd say. And now she got her wish.
And now
she's in a better place.
That was too soon. Too soon. Too soon. We'll be back after this to Sir Rick Emerson Show.
Non sequitur, your facts are uncoordinated.